الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. واعلموا أن فيكم رسول الله لو يطيعكم في كثير من الأمر لعنتم ولكن الله حبب إليكم الإيمان وزينه في قلوبكم وكره إليكم الكفر والفسوق والعصيان أولئك هم الراشدون. وقد ورد عن سيد البشر صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال: من سرته حسنته وساءته سيئته فهو مؤمن، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الأمين الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Prior to the month of Ramadan and in the month of Ramadan, you would have definitely heard different bayans and different lectures on the topic of taqwa, the consciousness, the awareness and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the purpose for these reminders is that this is the objective of the month of Ramadan, for fasting in the month of Ramadan. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. But what is the outcome from this acquisition of this great quality of taqwa? So taqwa in a nutshell, as the ulama explain, is imtithalul awamir wajtinabul nawahi. Carrying out the likes of Allah and staying away from the dislikes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the simple and basic understanding of taqwa, which each one of us needs to endeavor to acquire in this month of Ramadan. And now that we have already passed the halfway mark of the month of Ramadan, and now as we would say in a marathon or in a race, now is the downhill. Now we are coming to the end. So the more we should try to gain whatever we had lost our month of Ramadan. So we should be introspecting, looking within ourselves, that now half the month of Ramadan has passed, but did I move even a single inch towards acquiring what is the true objective and purpose of the month of Ramadan? Has some level of taqwa come into my life, or am I still at that very same level that I was before the month of Ramadan? So when it comes to this aspect of taqwa, staying away from the dislikes of Allah, carrying out the likes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we say that one should acquire the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then again the ulama explain that when we speak of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it isn't the kind of fear that a person will have for a thief, or a person will have for a predatory animal, like how you would fear the attack of a lion. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a being filled with terror, filled with just oppression. But rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He describes Himself, that Rahimu Wadood, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being who is extremely merciful, extremely loving. So when we speak of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the ulama explain that like how you would hold your senior in great respect, in great awe, or someone who is extremely beloved to you, they are very close to your heart. But there is an element of fear that you have for them. And that element of fear is that you do not want to earn their displeasure and their anger. So this is the kind of fear a person should have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That I fear earning the rat, the anger and the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But for a person to reach this level, then he will have to first acquire the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That like how when a person falls in love with any person in this world, so whether it is a haram kind of love, or whether it is a halal form of love, whether it is an illicit relationship that a person has, or it is a halal relationship that a person has. But the moment the love of that person strikes your heart, immediately there is a change in your understanding that you will be looking forward to doing that which will earn the pleasure of your beloved. That many a times you would hear that a person, sometimes even the parents would complain, that now this son of mine, before getting married, he used to eat everything on the table. Now after getting married, because his wife, she doesn't like a certain dish, so automatically he also doesn't like it. So this is the result of her love entering his heart. That it brought about such a transformation in his life, that now when her love came into his heart, her likes became his likes, her dislikes became his dislikes. But now this love, which each one of us, it needs to be linked with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That now that love needs to be deeply embedded within our hearts. That now the greatest love that I need to have is for my beloved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't stop us from having love for our children, for our wives, for even material things of this world. But what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us is that on the top of the list of love, the greatest love should be the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then second is the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And secondary to that would be the love for every other thing of this world. So that is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith has explained that لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى أَكُونَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ وَالِدِهِ وَوَلَدِهِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. That if you really want to be a true believer, oh my ummah, then that will only be possible when my love supersedes the love for every other thing. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not rule out that you cannot love your wealth, you cannot love your cars, you cannot love your home. But rather, what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted, love should supersede the love of every other thing. And likewise in the Qur'an Majeed, in Surah Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains that قُلْ إِن كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اِقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشُونَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُم مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ. So in a nutshell, the message of this ayat is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to bring His love, to bring the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the love for making an effort of deen, greater than the love of every other thing that you have. And that is why in one hadith, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then these words are recorded, that Allahumma ja'al hubbak, that oh Allah, make your love such to me, ahabba al-ashya'i ilayya, that your love becomes the greatest love of every other thing to me. So though I would have love for my wife, I would have the love for my parents, I would have love for that good car, things of this world, for good and fine food. But, oh Allah, make your love dominant. Make it the greatest form of love in my life. وَجْعَلْ خَشْيَتَكَ أَخْوَفَ الْأَشْيَاءِ عِنْدِي. And, oh Allah, make your fear the greatest form of fear in my life. That I would fear other things as well. But the greatest fear that I should have is the fear for you. And then one more step further, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That waj'al khashyataka akhwafa al-ashya'i 'indi waqta' 'anni hajati ad-dunya bi-shawqi ila liqa'ik wa idha aqrarta a'yuna ahli ad-dunya min dunyahum fa'aqrir 'ayni min 'ibadati. That, oh Allah, make it such that when the rest of the people of the world are gaining pleasure from the trivial pursuits of this world, let me gain pleasure through your ibadat. That this should be the source of pleasure and happiness in my life. That every other person may gain his pleasure by acquiring wealth or by getting a certain thing of this world. But, oh Allah, my pleasure should be earned through your ibadat. And this is what each and every one of us should be working towards. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in in the Qur'an Majeed, so how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describe them? That وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum such that Iman became beloved to them. Iman was the thing that really attracted their eyes. That it wasn't the riches of this world. It wasn't the wealth of this world. It wasn't the woman of the world that attracted their attention. But وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. What really caught the attention of their heart and the attention of their eye was Iman and Islam and the good deeds. And further to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْعِسْيَانِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made kufr, disbelief, and all forms of disobedience extremely detestable to the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. And again, this is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam highlights in one hadith, that مَنْ سَرَّتْهُ حَسَنَةُ وَسَاءَتْهُ سَيِّئَةُ. That if a person is such that his good deeds bring pleasure and happiness to him, that this is what really brings pleasure to his life, carry out the acts of obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَسَاءَتْهُ سَيِّئَةُ. And his sins bring a feeling within himself. It is obnoxious, nauseating to him. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَهُوَ مُؤْمِن. Such a person is a true mu'min. So the converse, meaning if evil deeds do not bring about a terrible feeling within a person does not feel nauseated with evil deeds and with guna and sin, then now there is a question mark that needs to be put to such a person's iman. That is your iman really true? Because as explained, that a person needs to have the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when a person has the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the likes of Allah becomes his likes. The dislikes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala need to become his dislikes. So this was how the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala, iman, good deeds, these are all the likes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was likable to them. This was beloved to them. And what were the dislikes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Kufr, disobedience, sin. This also became the dislikes of the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. But after all, insan, humankind, we are all fallible. We all will fall to our temptations at some point or the other. It is only the Anbiya alayhimus salam who are ma'soom. They are totally sinless, infallible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has divinely protected each one of them. But the rest of mankind, at times, they fall to their temptations. But then Allah subhanahu, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has highlighted that though this is a feature in the life of every mu'min, in the life of every human being, but kullu bani adama khatta'un wa khayru al-khatta'in at-tawwabun. That when a person temptations, then immediately that nauseating feeling needs to kick in. Immediately that emergency signals need to kick in within a person. That now what did I do? That I committed a dislike of my beloved. So a person will feel that terrible feeling. And now immediately he will go to make amends. That now dislike of my beloved. How can I now repair that relationship with my beloved? And now that will come about by making the tawbah. So Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had highlighted, that they are the guiding stars of the ummah. So when they are the guiding stars of the ummah, so we need to take direction from the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. That when they, as being human beings, fell prey to their temptations at some time or the other, then it wasn't such that now they did not want to mend or make amends immediately. The moment they came to the realization that now I have gone against the dislike of my beloved, immediately they would come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, present their case before him, and immediately they would ask that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what is the way out for me? The famous incident of Sayyiduna Ma'iz al-Aslami radiallahu ta'ala an, that after all, he was human, he fell to his humanly temptations, and he got involved with a woman. But immediately he realized that now I have erred, I have slipped up, I have committed a dislike of my beloved. And immediately he comes up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Tahirni ya Rasulullah, Tahirni ya Rasulullah. That, O Nabi, I have messed myself with evil, with guna, with sin. So for the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, evil, sin was something that was nauseating to them. Like how if some filth has to come onto our clothes and body, that even if it is just a small speck of feces that has to fall onto our clothes, immediately we would rush to the bathroom, try to wash it off. And even if we wash it off, we will take out that kurta and put it into the washing. That I cannot wear this kurta, it is stained. For the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, this was how they viewed sin. This is how they viewed the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That I cannot remain with that stain of guna and stain of sin in my life. That I need to cleanse myself immediately. So this Sahabi, he comes up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tahirni ya Rasulullah. That purify me, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he knew the implications. That this was not a small sin that he committed. It was a serious guna, which required punishment, which required that he needed to be stoned to death. But he was prepared for that. For he knew that that stain of that sin needs to be removed from my system. And he was prepared to be stoned to death. And then when he was stoned to death, then a few sahaba commented regarding him. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cautioned those sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, that watch what you say. For the tawbah that Ma'iz radiallahu ta'ala and made was such that if his tawbah had to be distributed over the entire city of Medina Munawwara and the inhabitants of Medina Munawwara, then it would have covered up for all their sins. So this was the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they could not tolerate a single sin coming into their lives. And the moment that sin came into their lives, immediately they made amends to cleanse themselves from those sins. But for us to reach that level, we will need to make an effort to instill the love, the mahabbat, the ishq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within our lives. So that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes our beloved, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam becomes our beloved, then the likes of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will become our likes, and the dislikes of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will become our dislikes. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. This one important announcement that needs to